it's just super important to us. I mean, there's amazing stories of people of how team members have changed their lives just by smiling at them, making sure they're taken care of, because our lives are so crazy and frenetic that we forget, like, you know, sometimes no one else takes care of us. And to have that person at that moment in that restaurant care about you, use your name, smile, ask if you need help or if you're okay, it really makes a difference.
I never knew the importance of work-life balance until I had my son. I wanted to create a platform to inform single mother, lady bosses that you can do it. This podcast is all-inclusive, safe haven-based, designed for women, a woman supporter to grow in all areas of their lives. I want to talk about fashion, health and wellness, work balance, work life, entrepreneurship, gender roles, stereotyping, single motherhood, and so much more. Thank you all for listening to Evie Unbounded. And once again, I'm your loving host, Evie Jane.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Evie Unbounded. I'm Evie Jane, your host. And today I'm sitting here with another Taiwanese sister. She's absolutely amazing and such an important figure in the food industry. I can say without a doubt that many of you have stepped foot inside her restaurant before. I will give you a hint. It's a casual gourmet sandwich and salad concept that was founded 16 years ago. The first store was opened in 2005 on Bunker Hill, downtown Los Angeles. Since then, it has been incorporated into many, many places, including Whole Foods. I would like to introduce you all, Ellen Chen, the co-founder of Medicina Farm, and truly is my Taiwanese sister. We can talk about everything all the time. And actually, before we started this, we end up like talking for almost an hour and didn't even start the recording. Anyway, folks, here she is.
Hi, Evie. Thank you so much for having me. And I can't begin to thank you. It's been so nice to get to know you. Like you said, you are like a sister. It's one of those things where you meet someone and you just know, and it's been so nice. It's like we were, I don't know, maybe sisters from another life. I love it. Thank you for having me.
It's totally true. It's the first time I've been trying to meet her for months. And the first time we met, we end up talking for hours. And I'm so excited to have her to be on this show, because even with this show, we'll be trying to arrange when she can be here. And finally, she's here. And then we're going to go eat Taiwanese hot pot after this recording. Okay, so you started Montesino Farm almost 2 decades ago with your husband. How did you two meet and where did the idea come from? I always like love story because I don't know, it's just, I'm still romantic. I still believe in love and I think it's really cute. So how did you two meet?
We met, two decades ago. That makes me feel so old, but yes.
By the way, she looked beautiful and she looks super young. You can never tell her age. I know there's no video, but anyway.
Okay, very sweet, but it's interesting. We were dating before we actually even got into business together. So we met each other, started dating. He had another restaurant concept called Skew's Teriyaki. And it was a fast casual teriyaki concept. He had 2 locations, one in downtown and one in Manhattan Beach. He had just closed the Manhattan Beach one. And so I actually met him because one of my good friends who worked at PwC ate at his restaurant and was in love with his GM because he was like this very sexy like singer. And so one day she called me. She's like, okay, I'm out with the guy that I really like and his boss who won't leave us alone. So I need you to come so that I could spend time with Josh. That was at the guy's name. And you need to go and be my wing woman and take this guy away. And so that's how I met Mario, being the wing woman for my friend. And the irony in is that we hated each other in the very beginning, or I couldn't stand him. And I think he couldn't stand me either. I'm not really sure. But somehow my friend wanted to continue dating the guy. So she told the both of us how much each other liked each other. And then he called me and then we started talking and somehow we developed a relationship. And I, at that time, was just leaving the company that I worked for, which was Electronic Arts, because Electronic Arts had acquired the company that I worked for. And then I decided that I couldn't work for a corporate environment. It was just really tough because I'd been working in startups. So at that point, I left and we were dating. I said, hey, do you want someone to come in and work for free at your restaurant? Because I was always interested in the restaurant business. And he said, sure, like, why not? Like any good entrepreneur. And so I went to go work at SKUs. I did everything. It was like cleaning the bathroom, prepping the food, washing the dishes, working the register. I loved it. I love being around food. I love working with people. And I said to him, I go, do you want to scale this concept? And do you want an investor? Because at that time he's uber creative, but from a business perspective, he didn't have that infrastructure. So I said, I could come in and help you with that because I was a consultant before. And so he said, sure. So I wrote him a check. We opened up another location together, got married, had a baby, and then sold that concept to start Mendocino Farms in 2005. Wow. So it's, you know, so it's funny. We were business partners before we even got married.
That's amazing. So how you get the idea of the Mendocino Farm?
So at that point, you know, SKUs, which it's funny, I say teriyaki, everyone knows what teriyaki is now. Mm-hmm. 2 decades ago, everyone looked at you and goes, what's teriyaki? So you had to explain like what teriyaki was. It's Asian food, it's Japanese, and it's like a, you know. And so we realized that we can't scale that. It's got to be something everyone understands. And so at that time, we were looking at kind of like, what's the white space? We love fast casual because that wasn't even really a word that people were using. It was fast food or casual dining. And so we really wanted to kind of figure out like, how do we blur that line between fast food and casual dining, creating like a better product, a better environment at an approachable price. And honestly, in the sandwich category, no one really had created a concept that was more upscale. There was Subway, which is fast food.
Yeah, you know, but not.
It's not that, yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not like premium. And then there was Quiznos, and there was Jersey Mike's that was a little bit more elevated, but there was nothing where people were using fresh ingredients from a chef-driven edge. And so that's when we had that aha moment. Like, I think there could be something here if we took that genre of food and elevated it, but still made it approachable from a price point perspective enough that we could really do volume and people, you know, could actually afford us.
I was telling you before, my associate, my junior associate, first year, we always see him ordering food from Montesino. And now I'm like, I must pay him too much money. I'm like, the one that can get all the nice food every single day when he was working here.
Well, I love it. That's exactly what we were trying to do because we want to make sure that anyone, you know, people who are assistants, people who are junior associates, people, you know, students can actually afford our food. I mean, at that time, our real goal was to be between $10 and $12. Obviously, you know, times are a little bit different now, but we're still, you know, like our average, you could get a sandwich for still $12, $13.
That's amazing. And it's very nice. I do see. And that's why I was like, everybody, well, at least in my office, they all love your food because I see them get a deliver all the time. But how you got interested in food industry? Because you were economic major.
Yeah, I was an economic major. You know what? It was meeting my husband. Honestly, I think this is where, you know, people talk about like luck or destiny. I guess we were destined to be together. And I've always loved food. Being Taiwanese, I mean, you know, our world revolves around food.
Oh, of course. We always eat. Food is amazing.
You wake up, you go, what are we going to have for breakfast? You know, so food has always been like very like important part of my life. But also being Asian, you don't have time. Like, you know, in high school, my parents never said, go work in a restaurant. They wanted you to focus on schoolwork, whatever. And so it was something I always was curious about, but just an industry that because of my career never took me on. So it's really interesting. It was meeting my husband gave me the opportunity to dive deeper. And I honestly fell in love with it. I mean, it's blue collar. I still remember working at SKUs and we were in the base of the Skyrise in downtown. And my friends who were accountants, lawyers, you name it, they would come up and I'd be at the register in my sneakers and my t-shirt and apron. And they're like, Ellen, like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Because, you know, they thought it was so below my pay grade to be doing something like that. But you know what? It's just like any other business. You know, your product is just different. Your product is actually making a difference and making people happy and hopefully healthier too.
Oh yeah. That reminds me. It's like one of the corporate culture that you guys have is selling people happiness. Can you explain what you mean selling people happiness? I love that concept.
Yeah. So that's our mantra and really kind of the foundation of what we built the company on. And it's this idea of our product is not just selling someone a sandwich or salad. It's really about selling them happy. It's this whole entire experience. And so, you know, it was interesting working in downtown LA. You see a lot of unhappy, just stressed out people and they wait in line. They're angry. And this is what we told our team. You know, we said, if you can turn this person's like day around just a little bit, that little switch in their like attitude will make such a difference in their lives. And so we called it selling happy. And it sounds very like kumbaya, and you're like, what is that? But we really took that culture and we, you know, it doesn't sound as sexy, but we created a process that operationalized how our team can do that at every single touch point from the very beginning, the moment that person walks into the door to the moment they walk out, and hopefully even when they leave the building. And so we always say, like, if the person didn't have a good experience, you know, and the food was great, you didn't do your job, you know, because we didn't sell them happy. So it's just super important to us. I mean, there's amazing stories of people of how team members have changed their lives just by smiling at them, making sure they're taken care of, because our lives are so crazy and frenetic that we forget, like, you know, sometimes no one else takes care of us. And to have that person at that moment in that restaurant care about you, use your name, smile, ask if you need help or if you're okay, it really makes a difference.
Well, I know for sure when they receive the package and when they receive the sandwich, they're all happy.
Well, I hope so. And if they're not, you know what? They're also trained on how to make sure that that's turned around too.
Yeah. I mean, because when I walk in, I was like, oh, somebody's getting more Tocino Farm.
I love it.
And then he's always smiling.
I love it.
Our associate, Mickey. And you know what? Mickey is also from Taiwan.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah. So that. It's kind of funny how you know, that's his favorite lunch.
It's funny because I wish, it's interesting because when people find out that, oh my gosh, there's someone who's Asian, that's a co-founder, because I don't think it's very common in the restaurant business. You know, it's such a great connection. So I love it.
Even like in the restaurant, even for women, that's also very, it's not the majority, right?
No, it's starting to turn. But, you know, when I started 20 years ago, Asian female, it's like you never saw that. Like you go to conferences, you go to whatever. And it's funny, people would always think that I'm the assistant to my husband. Those were really interesting experiences from the very beginning. But, you know, it's nice. The times are changing and you see so many more women now in this industry.
I mean, this is the reason why we have this podcast, right? Because I wanted to empower other women and see what's possible for them. And you're right. I think in the restaurant industry, it's definitely, I feel it's still majority male, but you're right. It's much better than before.
Yeah. I think majority like big box chains, places that have multi-units are definitely more male. And I'm seeing a lot of now these really great restaurants that are popping up that are more female, you know, led. And so it's exciting to see that shift. And, you know, one of my biggest things is if I can give back and support people, I know we were just talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
I'm all about helping other brands, other restaurateurs in kind
reach
of
reach out to Ellen if you need any.
Seriously. I love it. I love it. 20 years of hell. Like I will love to help people avoid that.
Yeah. What was the biggest challenge when you started?
You know, it's interesting. I think there's scaling the culture is really challenging. You know, the food is obviously that has its own kind of like, you know, thing there, but scaling the culture as you start growing and you can't be in the restaurants all the time and making sure that your values are intact and people are treating, you know, each other the way you want them to. Mm-hmm. That honestly was one of the hardest things to do and still remains to be today as we're now crossing state lines. You know, you don't have, you know, the same team. You don't have, so training was something that we invested a lot in just to make sure. But, you know, that was one of the biggest challenges. And honestly, from a personal perspective, balancing being a mom, a wife, and doggies all at the same time. I mean, that was a challenge in itself.
Yeah, because when you started it, you only have one child, right?
Yeah.
And then Durell, well, obviously, how many? Two?
I have two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, people always say like, it was just, we were naive. We jumped into the business. We jumped into getting married, having kids. And it was challenging because, you know, I look back on it now, my kids were raised by other people, which is really hard. And I missed a big part of their lives. Though I like to think I was still there, you know, but looking back, that's, you know, it's kind of sad as they've gotten older and my son is getting ready to go to college soon.
Oh, congratulations.
That's crazy.
Wow. Which school is he going?
He doesn't know. He's a junior. So we're going through the process. It's crazy. I know.
You're going to miss him.
I am.
I still have more year to go.
It goes by so quickly. Oh, so sad.
Yeah. And your son, he's really tall.
He's tall. He's 6'6".
Yeah. Did he play any sport?
Basketball.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
What about your daughter?
She is 14 and she is almost 5'9". She's really tall too. And she's very athletic. She's a volleyball player and she's a total kick-ass. Like,
awesome.
Yeah, she's amazing.
It must be so hard for you, like you said, like running the business, also being in an industry where it's the predominantly male, and being a mom and being a wife. How you do it all? Like,
Evie, I don't know.
What was your process like?
Very organized and very calendared and very planned. I mean, there is no secret, but literally I would take the kids' schools would start. I would take the calendar and literally map it all out into my own calendar. And then anything that happened, like even, you know, like I have to go grocery shopping or whatever, everything was calendared down to the minute so that way I wouldn't forget. And, you know, I was able to give time to everyone. And I think I was really lucky that we ended up moving our office close to home. That was one of the things I told my husband when our lease came up in downtown. I said, I can't do this commute anymore. We just had our second. And I said, I want to keep working, but I know there's going to be a point where I'm going to crash and burn. And so if we could move closer to home, then I can now be a bit, you know, I could be in their lives and then still be at work and have a better balance. So that was kind of the tipping point.
That's crazy. Well, you made it.
I made it. Not gracefully, but I made it.
Hey, you made it.
However way.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was a really good advice. Organization, right?
It's crazy.
What else can you do?
Yeah.
You only have a certain amount of time. And if you want to do it all, you got to plan.
And it's prioritizing. I would tell my assistant, I go, because she would see the calendar of my kids. And I said, this takes precedent. Unless there's something earth-shattering at work, I need to go to these things, you know? And I also made it so that everyone knew. I didn't hide it. I wanted everyone to know that, you know, you can be a mom, you can be a dad, and you can still be really successful in what you do, you know, but you just have to be transparent and communicate it.
Yeah, so that's wonderful. That's awesome. And that's what I always tell other women. I would say, you could do it all. You just have to figure out how, right? And then there's always, if you have the will for it, there's always
You'll figure it out. And there's going to be guilt and there's going to be pain along the way. It's not all like, you know, peaches and cream, like for sure. I think that's the other thing. Everyone's like, oh, how do you do it? I'm like, you just do, but sometimes it's really painful and messy and it's okay.
Yeah. So would that be the advice you give other female who want to be in this industry or a female chef?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I was just meeting with someone who was raising money to start our concept. And she goes, I really want to get married and I really want to have kids. And she goes, but I don't feel like I can. And I looked at her, I go, don't stop yourself. Like, do it because you'll figure it out.
Well, come to us. Please say, hey.
No. She said that. Actually, I should send her to you because that's a big part of it so that you can, because there's that anxiety of like, my time is running out at this point with technology and science.
Yeah. Plan, like you said, you just have to plan it out. You can do it.
Put it in your calendar.
Get your A-freeze.
Totally.
I did it. I encourage all the women to do that.
Don't miss out on, I mean, and everyone has their own choice or what they want in life, but kids are honestly the most amazing, fulfilling thing. Yeah. So I freeze your eggs.
Okay. So since now you're not as active in, you know, doing the business, Montesino Farm, so do you have a coming up project you're thinking of doing or what's your goal?
Currently right now, I've really spent a lot of my time. I've become, I guess you call it an angel investor. It sounds like such a strange word. So I've been angel investing a lot.
I guess that sounds great.
It's been really great because it's, you know, you get to meet a lot of great founders, learn a lot about different industries. And then I've just been advising and sitting on boards. So I get to still work part of, you know, my brain, but my biggest focus right now is spending time with my kids before, you know, like I said, my son is leaving.
Go to college. Yeah.
So I'm really trying to enjoy that time that I have with him and with my daughter as well. She's in eighth grade. And if the right project or if the right, you know, we talked about it, the right partner comes along, then yeah, I would be down for it. I'm constantly thinking and I have a lot of things in my mind and like on paper in the works, but it's just a matter of timing and, you know, it's just finding the right thing.
Are you thinking about getting back to the food industry or do you want something different?
So it's interesting. Food, I love, I'm very passionate about, and there's projects that have come across my table. And I've thought about it. I think the hard part right now is the industry is in such a strange place because of pandemic and there's a lot of issues with labor. And when I think back to all the stuff that I had to do, I don't know if I'm ready to jump back into that grind and deal with it. So I think that's where I go back to. If I can find the right partner and an operating partner and a great concept that I think, you know, people need and want, I would be totally open to it. I just don't know at this age if I'm ready for to get back into that grind again. But I love beauty. So I've been exploring some beauty stuff as well. And so I'm playing with something right now with my sister. And
oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Can't wait. So when you come up with something, definitely share with us.
Oh, I will. I will.
Love beauty stuff.
So I'm noodling on it right now and talking to a lot of different people and trying to figure out if, you know, what we're doing will have, you know, I want it to be effective. I want it to, you know, do what it's supposed to do. So just really trying to think about how to go through that process and, you know, I'm trying to learn right now. It's totally a new industry,
which is fun.
It's fun.
Learning is always fun. I mean, I mean, I think for entrepreneur, we always wanted to learn things and improve.
Totally.
So whenever there's a learning, it's always
it's fun. I'm curious. Exactly. So, you know, if it pans out or it doesn't, I'm learning at this point.
Exactly. And then, so what about the board? So you advise, you pretty much on a couple advisory board. And what are those board position are?
So one, Mendo is one of them that I'm still on the board of. The other one I actually just joined and I'm really excited. It's a really great concept. It's called Sugar and Bronzed. So it's basically waxing and spraying. So it's kind of in that health beauty category. Oh. And it's two co-founders. They're actually getting married next week.
Oh.
So it's it will be a husband and wife, but now boyfriend and girlfriend, or, you know, girlfriend team.
Uh-huh.
And it's so interesting how it comes full circle. They reached out to me about 6-7 years ago when they were first starting the company to learn more about what it means to scale, creating a culture. And so it's just, you know, funny that now we've come full circle from them getting advice to now, you know, I just joined their board. I mean, so I'm really excited because again, they're scaling. It's amazing what they're doing. And there's a lot of applications from what we've done at Mendo, even though it's different products.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I'm a board member there. And then a couple of the other ones.
That's kind of like a beauty concept,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's why it's kind of fun because it's something I'm learning about. I love beauty, health and wellness, kind of that category. And then, you know, multi-unit and scaling. And then I'm on the advisory board of a couple restaurant tech platforms.
Okay.
So
good.
Yeah. So it keeps me, you know, it keeps me busy learning. And honestly, I spend a lot of time helping entrepreneurs, a lot of founders, especially female founders who are starting a company or, you know, whether it be in the beauty space or in the restaurant space, helping them and kind of thinking through scale. So yeah, I spend a lot of time doing that and I love it.
Awesome. So doing all this, I mean, I know you two are both working on a casino farm. Is your family or your husband's family was around while they're close, but they're helping or are they supportive?
Oh my gosh, so supportive. I mean, they are a integral part of our success, both my parents and his parents. I mean,
the reason I asked is to let you know, because as an Asian, you know, we both Taiwanese, like, most of Taiwanese parents, they all want their kids to go to law school, med school, working for a big firm, you know, engineering. Or as when you left your job and then say you wanted to, you know, cook and then doing this teriyaki restaurant at first, how supportive were your family?
So my parents are pretty awesome. I mean, they are tiger parents like any parents, but I think they come from it in the way of they want what's best for us versus what's best for what it looks like for them. Because, you know, a lot of it's about like how their friends are going to perceive them as parents, because do they raise good kids? Do their kids have good jobs? And my parents just wanted us to have better. And so I think because I didn't hop into this business until I was almost 30. And so I had already gone through the traditional route. So I worked at, you know, back then it was Anderson Consulting, Accenture. So it was a big, you know, like it was a big accounting consulting firm. I went to go work for, you know, a couple startups and an ad agency that all had some cachet and name to it. So I think my parents had already seen that, okay, I've been able to provide for myself. And so when I met Mario, I think, like I said, the company I worked for had just gotten acquired. So they saw that I had some financial security. So I think they felt better that I was going to go do this entrepreneurial thing, because they felt like I already had established myself. And what I told them was like, hey, look, if this doesn't work out, I can always go back and I'll find a job, right? Yeah. I've already proven myself out. So it wasn't like I was just starting from scratch. Yeah. So I think they were more supportive and okay with it. And so with that, knowing that, you know, both Mara and I are going to start something together, when we had Joe, who's my, our son, they were awesome. I mean, my mom was, and dad came and lived with us. You know, at one point when we were opening up another restaurant, Joe lived with them. It was so sad for like a couple months. We took him up north, and on the weekends, Mara and I would drive up or fly up to see him. But so my parents, I mean, I couldn't have done this without my parents. His parents were the same way. If we ever needed help, they would come down.
That's sweet. Yeah. That's really awesome. I was raised by my grandparents, but both my parents have to work. So I totally get it. Okay. So thank you for taking your time, Ellen. I was like, it's so nice. It's like all this, I feel like I only know the same because me and you talk, but it was always nice to find out the detail, how you got into the food industry. Cause I never asked you that. It just, you know, we just kind of assume that you must like food, but you
I do love food, but it was, I think it was like luck, you know, I
met my husband. Yeah, because you were in a complete different industry.
If I had not met my husband, I probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to you today about Mendocino Farms, because I don't think I would have ever gotten into it.
So did he still enjoy cooking? Who's cooking at home? Did anybody cook? I just want to know.
Postmates or DoorDash?
Oh, really? Because I was like, you guys must love food. Like, who's cooking?
You know what? During COVID, there was a lot of cooking.
Yeah.
And then now that life has kind of gotten back into normal, the kids are back in school and it's crazy. I try to cook because I want them to eat healthier. And my daughter has turned like plant-based. So it, you know, makes it a little bit trickier to eat out. So I do a lot of the cooking. I'm not good at it. My husband is great. He is really the culinarian, but you know, he's busy too. So
yeah,
we try.
Okay. So I just want to know, if I go to your house, who's going to be the cooking?
If you come to our house, we'll make good food for you.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. Or we can just go to Italian.
Or we can just, we just do that too.
Well, thank you so much for taking all your time to join me on this episode. And thank you all, listener, for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed this episode with us, because I have so much fun today. And please take a moment to check out Ellen's social media handle. I will put it in the description box for this episode. And thank you, everyone. And stay tuned for my next episode, everyone. I'm your host, Evie Jane, for Evie Unbound.